Hello, and welcome to Pod Sing Se, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. I'm Steph, and together with my co-hosts Abby, Jen, and Nicole, we'll be rewatching episodes of Avatar and discussing them here each week. This week, we'll be talking about Book 2, Chapter 18, The Earth King. From the FanWiki, in this episode, the group breaks into the Earth King's palace to inform him of the Hundred Year War, which the Dai Li has kept secret. They eventually convince the Earth King by showing him the destroyed Fire Nation drill, and Long Fang is arrested for treason. Meanwhile, Zuko succumbs to an illness which Iroh calls a metamorphosis caused by the former's conflicting destiny, and the prince is haunted by nightmares. Azula and her friends, now disguised as the Kyoshi warriors, successfully infiltrate the city. I honestly don't even know like where to begin with this episode, because like there's so much of the beginning, like the first act was like action, but then like so much still happens plot-wise. I mean, it does set up for the finale, you know.
This felt like a season finale to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, how many episodes are left? Because I was just like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't really satisfying enough to be a season finale.
Yeah, it felt like if it ended on like a cliffhanger, like, and then like the new season opens and they're all separated.
I could see that.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that, and not to like jump way ahead, but it was like, this is like such a standard move for like movies and stuff to like separate the party after we've spent so long with them. Because it's like now everyone goes on their personal journey, and it's like the original Star Wars films, like episode 5, they all separate. The second Lord of the Rings, they all separate. It's just like the thing you have to do.
That's a good point.
It's moving you into that last
They have to like come back stronger so they can beat the final boss together. But it's also, it's so far away.
Yeah. I feel like especially because it seemed like it was going to end on a happy note and like Sokka jinxed them again. Like, I'm like, Sokka, just like stop talking.
No, you're right.
I'm like, what did he say? Everything is going to work out perfectly from now on and forever.
I love that.
It's the forever part of
classic setup for it. It's about to get fucked up.
I know. I'm like, all right, Sokka.
I don't trust this new positive Sokka.
Exactly. But, like, it seems like it's going to leave off on that note, and then you get, like, the Dai Li are like, we're still faithful to you, Long Fang, and then Toph gets kidnapped, and then you see the dangerous ladies dressed up like the Kyoshi warriors. So I do see how that could kind of seem like a finale in a sense, but really it's just setting you up for, like, the next two episodes, which are...
The finale.
Good. The finale. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, what do I say?
Oh, were that close already?
Yeah. The next two are the finale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The two parts. Okay.
This is like episode 18 of the 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In season two.
Okay.
Snuck up on us.
Yeah, for real. Like, yeah.
I was surprised when I was thinking about it. I was like, wait, next time's the last one. I mean, you know, last two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking about it. And then I saw when I was like picking the episode on Netflix, it was like, because, you know, they bundled them again. And it was like the Guru and the Crossroads of Destiny. And then the next one was The Awakening. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's almost season three. Crazy.
So weird.
So we talked a little bit about the end of the episode.
Hey, my bad.
No, it's okay.
They played safety music. And I was like, stop playing the safety music. It's a trick.
Oh, man. But like at the beginning, we had that like amazing action sequence.
Yes. Oh my God. So good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. I was liking all of the bending involved. Mm-hmm. And then Sokka didn't do anything.
I know.
He really wasn't doing shit.
I noticed it, but I was like, I'm not going to say it.
Three on the guards plus Sokka.
I literally wrote down, this whole fight sequence is amazing. Aang with the flick of his wrist, Katara jumping the moat, Toph in the stairs. I was like, Sokka's there too, lol.
Like, honestly, every time they cut to a wide shot, it's like Appa's like slowly walking behind them. Aang and Toph are like doing the cool like tile stuff, and Sokka's just like standing there like in his idol pose, like with his boomerang or like the sword thing.
He had both of them. Yeah, he had his club and his boomerang out. I was like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I felt so bad because I was just like, this isn't supposed to be a punchline moment for him, but it inevitably turned into one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because everybody else was just so fucking badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you really didn't, you couldn't figure out like one little moment for him or like something. Like,
just show him take like one guy out.
Sokka opened the doors and kicked the other door.
I feel like it's the joke. Like, I just recently rewatched some of the like Avengers movies, and it's like the joke with that is always like Hawkeye. He brings like 12 arrows to fight with like 100 aliens, and he's just like, "Yep, got my 12 arrows." I feel like that's the like, Sokka is that character where it's, like, it's not meant to be a punchline, but, like,
right.
when you think about it, it kind of becomes it.
Yeah, I guess they were trying to emphasize the, like, braininess of him a little bit, where he's like, okay, we got to get to the Earth King, and he was the one who kind of, like, rallied the troops to get them to do it in the first place. So he got that, but I'm like, you couldn't show him, like, boomerang one person.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like that they could have really have just done something where it's like, you know, something is coming at Toph and she can't see it, or, you know, and he like does something. Like there were options.
Yeah.
Everybody had a moment, like Katara's, we were talking about it just briefly before, but like it's like iconic, like the her jumping over the moat and then like the roll that she does and just the way she comes back into the frame and then the water on her arms, like super badass.
Yeah.
And like everything Toph does is iconic.
Jumping way back to like how we used to talk about this stuff in season one. It's like, she did water whip to do that. And it was like, oh man, remember when she learned that? Remember when she couldn't figure it out? Like, oh, damn.
Yeah, and then as she was jumping over it, she froze the moat. Like,
right.
Oh, very cool.
And like, yeah, everything Toph did was just amazing.
Also, Toph killed some people.
She definitely did.
Like, this is fucking crazy.
She definitely did. She, like, crushed I don't know how many people.
At the ceiling!
Like, all their hips are broken. Yeah.
I was like, I forgot about that. So when she first flipped them all, and then I was like, oh my god, all those men's legs are broken. Like, there's no way. And then she, like, slammed those guys up into the ceiling with the pillars.
That was crazy.
Like, all their rib cages got crushed. They all just died. Yeah. I was like, no one tell Egg.
Like, Sokka and Katara are like, sorry. And Toph's just like, fuck this place.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do all the damage I can.
Honestly, even Aang was a little bit more like channeling Toph. Like, he wasn't like looking, and he just earthbend shit was just like, not today, fuckers. And I was just like, I like this.
He honestly, when he shot the ground up and they all like flew into the air and then came down hard on those like square pillar things. And I was just like, ooh, I was like, Aang is still pissed that they stole Appa. Like,
oh yeah.
I did love Sokka and Katara like apologizing the whole time.
That was really funny.
Yeah.
I kind of got annoyed because I was just like, Katara, stop apologizing.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because she's just like, we're just trying to see the Earth King. And it's like, bitch, they know. They don't care. And at this point, you shouldn't care either.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, they're attacking you because you want to see
the Earth King. The Earth. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like,
like, they're not going to call a ceasefire because you explained what you were doing as you were freezing their men. Like,
I'm trying to prevent you from doing the thing. So
I like that at the beginning Toph, she like called Katara sweetness, and like it's so funny. She's like, I'm with sweetness, we should go, kind of thing. And I was like, that's a new nickname, I don't remember.
Yes. Sugar Queen and Sweetness, I think, are what we've heard so far.
Yeah. Sugar Queen.
Yeah. Katara didn't get mad this time.
No. Yeah. Oh man, just some of those shots were just like, and I feel like we were talking about this too with the fight with the Dai Li with Jet, you know, where it's like the way that they staged, like the action was so like layered and like interconnected. And I can't even imagine like having to like that scene like starting as like a blank page and like them just suddenly, like it's easy to write like the characters fight their way through. I don't know what the actual screenplay, you know, looks like.
Yeah.
But it could have been as simple as that. Maybe they had a couple specific, like, you know, Katara uses her water whip, Toph, like, flattens the stairs, and they all slide down. But it's, like, to then actually have to, like, plan it is, like, blows my mind.
Yeah. Ugh. Like, the choreography that goes into this is, like, nuts.
No. Yeah,
by the way, I think it would be a cool theme park ride to be, like, the play as if, like, you are one of, like, the Earth King guards and like, the gang is fighting you. So you're just, like, playing around. At one point, you go down the huge slide of that used to be stairs. Like,
oh, there's,
like,
bushes
coming in your ride. Avoid the boulders.
God.
Oh, yeah, like, the bystander. If you're, like, a bystander in, like, the Harry Potter ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Avatar Studios, give
the
us Gringos a call.
One? Oh, man. Could you imagine a theme park? That'd be really cool.
That'd be really cool.
That would be very cool.
The food.
The food. I know. Oh, I was like, the food, though. And guys, then they have, you know, like, all the different areas. Kind of like how, like, Animal Kingdom has all the different, like, country, continent.
Oh, yeah.
Things.
Yes.
I'd like that.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they would do. I was like, it'd be cool if they could have, like, the animal hybrids somehow, but I don't know.
It has to be like animatronics or like puppets.
Yeah. Nothing but canyon crawlers.
Well, oh, like, my gosh.
Oh my god. In Universal, they have those like dinosaurs in the Jurassic Park area.
Yeah, the new ones are really nice.
Yeah.
And I know in Animal Kingdom near Expedition Everest, they have like, you know, they're very clearly puppets. Like there's always a handler, like a person operating it. But they have these really, really gorgeous, like snow themed, like winter themed animal puppets that are gorgeous.
Those are really pretty. They also have Kevin walking around.
Oh my God, I saw Kevin. He's so tall. Or she, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's very tall.
Yeah, it's so impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine seeing like a giant Afa and getting to run up and hug him?
Stop.
I know.
I'd cry.
Nickelodeon, please.
Honestly.
CEOs.
Yes.
Future CEOs.
Make it happen. Would that be it, like... Well, no, I guess Nickelodeon used to have their own, like, theme park, the hotel. Because I'm like, oh, would that be, like, maybe they could do something at Universal? Like, I don't even...
Yeah, I mean, Universal did have a Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, like, that whole Nickelodeon thing. When I was a kid, we went once, and we watched it. I don't think it was, like, a taping of a real show, but, like, people got slimed.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. I was wanting to go to one of those. Yeah, because I know, like, Universal Studios has, you know, it's like DreamWorks, all the DreamWorks characters are there, all the Illumination characters are there, because those studios are both owned by, like, NBC Universal. Like, right. Nickelodeon's owned by, like, Viacom CBS. I don't know if there's, like, who owns them. Like, I'm just like, all of these things are owned by, like, the same four companies, so I'm just like,
I don't know,
because it's like, Nickelodeon also, like, more and more Nickelodeon stuff went on Netflix. Obviously, like, the whole Avatar partnership that, like, kind of didn't quite pan out, but they also have a bunch of stuff on Hulu, which is owned, like, most majority owned by Disney, but I don't think Nickelodeon would want to partner with Disney. I don't know. I just, like, I guess it'd have to be, like, Universal. They'd have to do, like, a partnership.
Yeah.
It could happen, though. It's popular enough.
I would love it.
And I'm just like, if it makes these corporations more money, why don't you just fucking do it? Because you're already doing it anyway.
This is true. Get on that. Hire us as consultants.
Yeah, the people want it. Exploit capitalism, just pair together and make a huger monopoly. Don't you understand?
The system is already broken enough. Just come on.
Yes. Just at least give us things that we actually want to see, if that's the case.
Exactly.
Oy vey.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, back on topic. So then we meet the Earth King.
Yes.
Finally. Who's just like a regular guy who knows literally nothing.
So a regular guy. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, basically. I was looking at the Avatar extras, and there was one that it was like the Earth King began his rule at age 4.
Oh, geez.
And Long Fang was his like quote unquote guardian. So I'm like, how old is this guy now? Like, he has to be in like his 20s, I guess.
He looks really young.
I guess his 20s. Yeah.
Early 20s.
Yeah, but I'm like, no wonder he, like, I don't know, completely trusts Long Fang, because if you're brought up by that person,
yeah,
of course you're going to trust that they're, like, basically doing what's best for you. And he was the 51st king and the first of all of those kings to see the Outer Wall.
That's
which is
embarrassing
to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that they're, like, you know, I mean, I understand, especially with him, like, why they wouldn't let him, because they're lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they must have been lying to all of them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, overly, what is the word?
Like, censoring it?
Yeah, I meant, like, what's another word for, like, protection? Like, I can't think of, there's a specific word that I'm trying to come up with, but it's, sheltering. Like, not. Sheltering, I guess, is a good one, yeah.
Well, I feel like you could argue that they were trying to give him, like, plausible deniability.
Mm.
But then... he also doesn't realize, like, how shitty of a king he is. Like, I don't,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could argue he was, like, groomed to just be ignorant.
Yeah. Like,
by design. And it's like, we're not talking about, like, the Dai Li, like, wanting to assassinate him. And then, like, if there's no other living relatives, like, oh, would he be the next in line sort of thing. But,
right.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Especially, he never even left the palace, he said.
That's so weird.
I kind of, like, feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, he was in kind of, like, a no-win.
Normal, though. Yeah. Isn't that normal for, like, a monarch?
I guess. I don't really know much. I was thinking about it, and I was like, I actually don't know anything about, like, China and how they handled that kind of thing. It might be normal.
Yeah. But I feel like even just, like, I don't follow them or care it by any means, but the bit that I've seen even about, like, the British royal family, it's like it doesn't seem like they can really leave the estate without it being a whole big fucking deal. So I get why they wouldn't, or they can't, or like every time they do, it's a massive publicity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I get why there's so many, like, tropes of, like, the prince, like, sneaking out kind of stuff. Like, because there's no way they can experience things.
I just want to be the commoners, with the
normals. Like, have to teach them how to do simple stuff, like ride the subway or buy a banana. Like,
yeah, they, like, they treat them like a normal person. And then they're like, they're the only person who's ever treated me like a real person. And it's like, that's because you've literally been sheltered. That's not special. That's just, like. Yeah.
This is how people are on the outside.
It's not true love. It's just rudeness.
Yeah. The art book said that the inner palace was specifically inspired by their visits to the palaces of Beijing, which, like, again, we've known that it was very, like, China inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the throne room was really cool. We were saying before how there's, like, this is, I don't know, it's not the first time, I guess, but we're seeing, like, really big, like, there were statues outside of the badger moles, and the whole throne room, like, the back of the throne had a big badger mole.
Right.
So then it's like, has he ever even fucking seen a badger mole? Like, does he know that they're real? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. He's just hanging out. He likes large animals, apparently.
Yeah, Bosco.
He's just, like, sitting around in his bedroom reading animal books.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, you know, Earth King owned badger moles, like, somewhere.
Yeah.
So on the palace grounds.
So weird. I guess that's like when what was it? They were using them as, like, Zambonis.
Yeah. at the Earth Rumble.
Right.
These, like, sacred creatures, and they're just, like, janitors.
Why not?
Disrespect.
Yeah. Oh, there was cute. Nicole briefly mentioned the bear Bosco. And, like, there were some moments at the end where, like, Momo was just, like, sitting with Bosco. And, like, Momo was, like, sitting on his back and sitting on its arm. And, like, they were, like, VFS. And I thought that was really cute.
Yeah. I also like how Bosco is, like, such a good judge of character that he immediately knew Aang was, like, a good boy.
Yeah. It's just, like, if you don't trust anybody, trust your bear, Earth King.
Exactly.
Trust Bosco.
He's the Avatar. Animals love him.
That's true.
Yes.
Birds perch on his head. Butterflies flutter around him.
If Long Fang hadn't made the mistake and been like, make sure the Avatar and his friends are, like, whatever. If he hadn't said the word Avatar, he would have gotten away with, like, everything that he wanted.
He would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for those meddling kids.
Like, actually.
If I didn't fuck up my own plan.
This was the time for Katara to meddle. Like, if there's any time for her to out him as the Avatar, like, yeah, to Steph's point, like, this was it, Katara. This was it. And you didn't do it.
I also love that Aang, like, took himself out of the cuffs. Was like, hey, and then put himself back in the cuffs.
I wrote notes on that. I was like, they're not actually trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Aang and Toph could get out in, like, a second.
They're just like, the handcuff gag worked so well for them back in Boiled in Oil that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made me think about that where, like, the jail had, like, no roof where he could have just, like, left.
Yeah. He's like, he's in his support group and he just takes, like, the head thing off.
Yeah.
So funny.
Well, they were able to repeat that gag here and it was still hilarious.
Yeah.
When they brought the king to Lake Laogai and then they're like, okay, let's just fly you to the outer wall. The king said something like, I hope that what you're telling me about this war isn't true. And I was like, does anyone ever wish that that was true? Like, of course we're not. Of course we're hoping he's lying. But I don't know. That shit just makes me laugh sometimes. When people come to a competition, they're like, I'm here to win.
Yeah.
And it's like, bitch, we're all here to win. Like, we're not here to lose. Like, that's so stupid.
Oh,
like,
man.
Dumb lines like that.
Bitch, we're all here to win.
Any reality show where they're like, I didn't come here to lose. I'm like, no one did, you asshole.
Oh,
like,
my God. Right? I've never thought of it like that, but, like, it's so obvious.
You're, like, not special. I feel like the Earth King part of that is that he's like, I hope that, like, I haven't been lied to my whole life.
Right.
But, like, yeah, of, like, obviously no one wants there to be a war happening. Like, come on.
Unless you're, like, a weapons dealer.
Well, yeah.
But then you have bigger problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the Fire Nation is like, no, war good.
Yeah. When Long Fang was just like, oh, we got outside, like, we imported it because you can't trust local manufacturing. And I was like, bitch, like, you're in charge of, like, the culture, quote unquote, of your country. And if your manufacturing sucks, like, that's on you, bitch.
That was a weird line. I was like, what?
That felt like one of those lines that they threw in for, like, the adults. But I feel like maybe that would have landed 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But today, I'm just like, you know, I feel like we're so jaded because it's like you kind of assume anything imported from especially like Asia. It's like, cool. It's probably like underpaid, exploited workers. Like, you know, like, I like spiraled just from that line because I was like, that sounds awful. also then, yeah, you're also supporting this like country that I guess, to be fair, the Earth King doesn't even know like what their relationship is with them. Like, I guess he's been told like
he doesn't believe that there's a war with them. And they're like, why is there Fire Nation insignia? It'd be like, because it was made there. Big deal. Like,
yeah, he's like, because they're our allies, or like, because they're just a neutral country that we trade with.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, oh, awkward.
Yeah, I was like, it is actually a feasible excuse. I mean, I guess the, like, killing thing there is that it's, like, a drill that obviously was trying to go through the wall.
Yeah.
We're like, why do you even need that? What did we import this for? What is being constructed? Like,
yeah. Or, like, I couldn't remember what he said, and I was like, oh, is he going to try to say it was, like, a training exercise? Because then it's like, yeah, why would you permanently damage your impenetrable wall?
Yeah.
LOL. Why would you add a weakness to it? That is so frustrating. Funny. There were, like, so many cute parts of it too, though, like when they kept cutting back to the gang and they were like celebrating when the king was just like, okay, I'll hear you out, and they're like, yeah, and like, I still don't trust you.
Yeah,
like, he's like, but I'm willing to hear, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll take it. Yeah. I'm just like, yes,
I like that part.
Settling. Oh, the only way progress ever gets made is by settling.
The power of compromise.
It's like, honestly, this is the Team Avatar's most challenging battle yet, is like literally fucking red tape bureaucracy.
But actually,
that's a move.
I mean, this entire like saga, like literally getting a meeting and like putting up flyers, like
have the flyers.
It's like, you need permission to do that. It's just like, bitch, it would take like 3 weeks.
Yeah. You know, kind of speaking of that, now that they destroyed the Lake Laogai complex, I was like, what did they do with all the, like, people that were probably down there?
Yeah.
Drowned them.
They're drowned in
death. Not to get, like, dark, but I'm like, where are all the GDs? And the political prisoners. I'm like, I doubt they evacuated them.
Yeah.
I mean, you would hope that maybe they evacuated them.
I guess that had to have, like, happened literally from when Longfang left. And, like, that they had to have destroyed it in, like, a day, right? Like, they didn't have time. They had no idea it was going to happen. Yeah.
I mean,
so like, yeah, I'm almost
the
like,
the moment they were found, they were just like, well, compromised, time to move out. Right?
Yeah.
So right.
Maybe they had an emergency procedure if we ever get found out.
Collapse the tunnels, drown all the people.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Or would he have been too smug to be like, that wouldn't happen?
He does strike me as the type to be overly confident.
You can just give the order and the Dai Li can do it because they're all earthbenders. Like,
yeah.
I'm like kind of surprised. I guess the Earth King's not an earthbender. And like, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because he's so sheltered anyway.
Do we know that for sure that he's not?
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't bend at all.
He could be a bender, but just not be trained.
It'd be funny if he was, though. And it's just like, they just never learn. Or like, they get like the little child lesson version, like the way that that guy was trying to teach Toph when he thought she was just, you know, a little blind girl.
Mm. Yeah.
And then like, imagine then him being like an incompetent little child who is eager to learn, and like some badass earthbender, like not Toph because she has no patience, but you know, teaching him. He's like, oh, I did it. I moved a rock.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, that makes me feel like the disconnect between like the Earth Kingdom center and like the rest of the Earth Kingdom is like so much wider. Because it's like, that seems like a country that it they would really like have like a more militant, physically stronger leader.
Yeah. It made me think a little bit like, if, you know, entertaining the idea that he's possibly an, like, earthbender, just, like, the contrast between the Earth King royalty and, like, the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
Where, like, all of the Fire Nation royal family is, like, they're basically all firebenders. I mean, yeah. I don't know about, like, Ursa or whatever, but, like, the rest of them are all firebenders, and they're all, like, super trained to be, like, as proficient as possible. And then they're out there doing things, right?
Yeah. What happens to Fire Nation royal family babies that, like, turn out not to be firebenders?
They throw them over the wall.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, my God.
But that's what I'm saying. I was like, oh, I'm kind of surprised there's not, like, I mean, we don't really see that sort of discrimination, like, addressed much in Avatar. Like, it's more of a punchline about Sokka sometimes. And, I mean, to be fair, like, Korra definitely, like, literally all of Season 1 addresses, like, the inherent inequality between, like, being able to bend and not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like they have it sort of, like, not, they have it there the whole time, but, like, sort of subtly, and they don't very clearly address it too often. But I do feel like it's always sort of there in just little comments and stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's cool then that it sort of, like, then expands. Like, by the time we hit Korra, it's like, oh, yeah. yeah. bender supremacy. Wow.
It's just like, okay, like it's not just a key. It's like microaggressions, I feel like, where it's like those have always existed, and then it's only
like how Toph was like 3-on-3 and Sokka was like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the reason you don't notice it as much in this show is that there are so many non-bending people who are powerful.
Yeah.
And like good fighters. Mm-hmm. So like you do get that balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, Sokka is kind of a joke a lot of the time. But like you have Mei and Ty Lee, and then you have Suki.
Yeah.
Who are all really powerful. And then, you know, Sokka levels up.
Yeah. And Sokka's still quite smart as well.
Yeah.
And but it's like, but that even like, that's something too, where you could still definitely argue that those are all people that had to, you know, that whole thing. It's like you have to work twice as hard just to get noticed, right. sort of thing. Where it's just like, well, what if you're not able-bodied and you're a non-bender or something, you know, where it's like, and again, that kind of starts to get addressed more in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it just like makes me wonder about the Earth King. Because then I was like, do the people even know what he looks like? I guess so, because they like saw him on the train. And I guess like some of them were reading a newspaper, but it was like the upper ring were reading newspapers.
Yeah. I don't know. At Bosco's birthday bash, he was like behind a curtain the whole time.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many people have ever actually seen his face.
Yeah, like, would they look at him and be like, this little punk? Like, seriously, I could beat him up and steal his lunch money kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, he does have that vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Just, like, the contrast between the nations. And then even, like, the Water Tribe doesn't have, like, a monarchy. Well, they do in the North, I guess.
Mm.
But, like, in the South, like, you know, Hakoda's the chief and, like, Sokka and Katara are, like, battle ready by the time, you know, now. So it's just, I don't know, he's like a little baby. And I feel bad for him more than anything. Because he just has no idea.
Yeah.
And then, okay, one thing that kind of bothered me a little bit was, like, at the end they have General Hao come in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, he's one of the Council of Five, my most trusted generals, whatever. So I'm like, did the generals not know that the king didn't know there was a war happening?
Mm-hmm.
Like, were they also in on the lie? Because they obviously know that there's a war going on.
The Dai Li said that the Council of Five were loyal to the Earth King, but the Dai Li were loyal to Long Fang. So maybe it was just that they always dealt with Long Fang, assuming that it
was really coming from the Earth King.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. We're like, you know, the Earth King doesn't deal directly with the matters. But I was like, they know about the war because, you know, the Earth Kingdom is still fighting the war.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, they have to have known.
I feel like that's also where, like, I've been annoyed because it's like Ba Sing Se broadly, like, it acts like it's the only, like, part of the Earth Kingdom that is Earth Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where, yeah, it's like there's all these other people. Obviously, again, like, we've talked about this, where it's like all the refugees that are, like, overpopulating the city, overcrowding the city, like, are still Earth Kingdom citizens. And it's just like the Earth Kingdom like doesn't acknowledge anything outside of the walls. And it's just like, yeah, it's like even as much as like, it's like, oh yeah, like the Earth King just didn't know any better. It's still just like, it's, he knew his kingdom was bigger than just this city, right?
One place, yeah.
Like, I don't even know.
You would think.
Like, he just sits on his throne. He goes, he's like, oh, I'm the king. So time for my like intelligence briefings. And Long Fang comes in and he's just like, your city thrives. And he's like, great. Like,
yeah, it's just like, how did you never want to even like visit other parts of the kingdom? Like, even if it was just for like a vacation or like, you know, like a vanity thing of just like, oh, I want to go to like these hot springs or this thing. It's like, was the Dai Li always like ready to like misdirect him or something? I guess probably.
Mm.
I don't know.
I'm like,
yeah, we're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I have like no real reference. I have like no real reference for like what monarchy actually is like.
Yeah.
I know, like, you know, in the UK, they, when they still had all their colonies and whatever, they would do like tours.
Yeah.
I watched The Crown.
I was like, The Crown.
Actually, I'll never watch season one. But anyway.
The most recent season was really good. You can skip the third one. Two is okay because that's like the last of the first, younger people. Anyway.
Okay. Good to know.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's like, it's hard to gauge now because I feel like they're more just like mascots, like not to, I said not to be disrespectful, but also I'm like, they shouldn't exist. Like, they are this like horrific, you know, family that is guilty of many atrocities and they get all this special treatment and that's bullshit. And like, they shouldn't exist, but.
Anyway.
But yeah, our Avatar podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Welcome back to Pod Sing Say.
Where we go off about all the real world things that bother us.
But they're relevant, so it's okay.
Exactly. Oh,
speaking of things that bother us, Zuko.
Oh, man. Okay.
He was going through it.
He was such a brat.
When he threw that, like, he, like, drank all the water, but he just, like, poured it all over himself. I know.
The water.
He threw the bucket.
And he poured all the water on him. I was like, okay, this is your potable water, fucking idiot.
I know. I was like, he doesn't know how to stop being dramatic, even when he's, like, dying. Like, he drank the water so in the most dramatic manner possible.
I could not.
Like, I get it. You're going through some shit, but, like, relax. Yeah. Like, really.
Honestly, Stephanie, when you read the fan wiki intro, I had to mute myself because I almost started laughing. Because, like, what did they call it in the intro? Like, a metamorphosis.
But that's what Iroh called it.
That's what Uncle called
it. No, I know. Yeah. It was still just, like, I, like, had just this moment of just, like, what is the messaging here? Like,
I was confused, too. I was, like, puberty? Like, I don't know.
Let me read that sentence again. Meanwhile, Zuko succumbs to an illness, which Iroh calls a metamorphosis caused by the former's conflicting destiny, and the prince is haunted by nightmares. So,
why did they have to use a bunch of different words to describe Zuko instead of his name? I don't know. Sorry.
Why all didn't right. they just all say right. that this hoe was out all night around Lake Laogai and got a fucking cold and had a fever?
No, he made a good decision, and then that caused so much turmoil that he literally passed out. Like, I was like,
that time Zuko could not be a good guy so badly that he immediately fainted.
Oh my god, that's crazy. Like, how strong are you?
Yeah, I'm like, isn't that the most relatable thing? Like, you make one decision that you're, like, unsure about, and you just, fall.
I feel like it would have been more realistic if he, like, had a panic attack or something. Like, I'm not saying you can't have a physical reaction to, like, a heavy decision or something, but even then, I don't feel like this was a heavy enough thing. Like, he wasn't overly conflicted about it. It wasn't something he'd been torturing himself over for weeks and months. I guess you could argue that he was in that he knew the Avatar was in Ba Sing Se, and, like, the decision to go after him or not is that's, like, so much of his life.
But that was, like, the previous day.
I think it's that he gave up an opportunity he had to, like, have something over the Avatar.
Yeah.
Like, he gave up Appa. And I think that was it, where he's, like, letting this chance go.
Bold of him to assume that he would have a chance of being able to contain Appa, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a whole other discussion.
No, I know, yeah.
That we had last week.
I would have liked to see the panic attack thing, actually. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, that would have been really good.
Yeah.
It would have been like interesting.
More realistic.
But I feel like it doesn't, like, it wouldn't work in the sense of illustrating... Because they want this device to be able to illustrate the two sides of him that are, like, battling. And you're not going to get that from an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
That's like, fair. He has to be having these, like, fever dreams.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. To really get it.
I was laughing earlier, too, because I was looking at the art book and I was telling them that the art book literally talks about the dragons from Zuko's nightmare. And they describe them as representing the two halves of his tormented soul. And, like, I just started laughing because, I mean, I everything's just so dramatic with Zuko, like, even in the art book. And it's not that it's not true or not, but it's still just, like, the tormented soul thing. Just
It's like when you put it into words, you're like, all right. Like, you know? Like, we know you have problems, but, like.
Yeah.
You don't have to dump the whole bucket on your body and then toss it. Like,
yeah. I feel like that's just the thing with all these. It's like us, like, we always bag on Sokka. And, like, I mean, it's just, like, every character is, like, I don't know. It's just, like, to their credit that, like, they have so many different sides of them that we can, like, laugh at this moment. Like, we can laugh at Zuko for being, like, an overdramatic bitch, but also completely understand, like, him having this huge, like, existential identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's just more fun to laugh at him, too.
I remember, when you wake up from the metamorphosis, like, you will be the prince you were meant to be. And I was like, Iroh, you wrong!
He didn't even say you will be the prince you were meant to be. He said you will be the beautiful prince you were meant to be. And I was like, okay. Sure. And, like, you know, you're wrong.
This will be the most painful thing you ever go through. And when you wake up, you will be the beautiful butterfly prince that you were always meant to be.
I guess that's, like, I guess the reason that I bump on it, too, is, yeah, like, there's no actual equivalent experience that people go through. Again, I guess that's why I was, like, leaning on, like, a panic attack. Because I'm like, that's something people actually experience.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, this is just, like, such a fantastical thing. And, like, again, I told, like, you explained it really, really well of just, like, they needed a way to just, like, show it and, like, to visually show it through, like, the dragons and, like, his different, his different, like, visions of himself and whatever.
They could have had a bunch of flashes of things that made it clear what he was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think, I don't know. Like, I do think a panic attack would be more realistic in, like, a real world way because, like, most people don't have, like, fever dreams because they, like, did something that's in odds with what they've been doing for a long time. But I feel like I don't know how to talk about the dreams in a good manner, like, that actually can explain their symbolism. Like, I was trying to think of, like, well, what can I say about them? And I honestly have nothing.
I really like that, though. I like
I really liked them.
Yeah, I think they were, as much as I'm complaining about them, I think they were done really well. And yeah, I like, I like that they didn't sit there and like, dissect them for the audience and explain them for the audience, and that we're sitting here and we're just like, I think I have, like, I think I know what it means, but it's, like, definitely up for interpretation.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought they were, like, eerie, but they got the point across.
Yeah.
But it wasn't overly, like, literal in a way. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Just, like, when everything started crumbling and then he got, like, sucked into the floor, I was like, oh, my God. But what made me laugh, kind of, is I'm like, that didn't wake him up. But when he saw himself look with, like, Aang's arrow in the bald head, that woke him up. I'm like, that was the scariest part of the dream.
Yeah. And then, like, the dragons and, like, the one is literally trying to get him to, like, not kill himself, but, like, you know, like, not wake up, like, to succumb to succumb to the fever. I was like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And that he imagined it with Azula's voice, and Azula's just like, kill yourself. Like, actually, I'm like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah.
She would fucking say that.
Yeah. And it's also, it could be, like, succumb to the fever, don't wake back up. But also, like, don't wake up from this, like, clouded, like, vision of, like, yourself that you have.
Yeah, like, this past identity that you you committed to.
Yeah, it was like, just sleep. Just relax. Just don't stop worrying about it. You're the Fire Lord. No worries. Yeah. Like, you know? And then with Iroh Dragon being like, no, run. You have to get out of here. Get out of, you know, the Fire Nation royal family trap that you're in.
Yeah. The Avatar extra said the Zuko that was in the dream that had, like, no scar and his hair was all long, that's, like, Zuko's idealized version of himself.
Well, he's not cute.
Okay.
He looks better with the longer hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, like, was overly reading into the, like, there was, like, the Fire Nation version of him, and there was, I mean, you could argue it was, he was just, like, an airbender, but obviously he was, it was, like, Aang and the Avatar. And, like, I thought that was interesting.
Representing from peace and balance.
Yeah, but it's also, like, representing, like, his lineage that, like, we, you know, it gets explored later, too, that I was kind of just like, oh, honey, like, you don't even know the half of it. And, you know, it's like, oh, you're worried about your connections to the Fire Lord and the Avatar? Like, just you wait.
Just? Like... you think you're feeling turmoil now? Yeah. This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
But honestly, it is just for him.
It was when he, like, touches his scar, because he just had all these dreams where he, with both versions of himself, didn't have it. And it was like, ah, I'm still me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like grounding in a way. Like, I know it's reality because I have this mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love how Iroh was like, you're really sick, but that shouldn't stop you from having some good tea. No matter the circumstances, everyone can enjoy a cup of tea.
I almost am like, because Zuko is so grumpy about tea all the time, I almost imagine, like, Iroh feeding Zuko this tea and Zuko actually just drinking it and swallowing it, and Iroh being like, yes, victory! I made him drink tea!
Oh my god.
Something else I was thinking about was, like, when they were trying to plot, like, the events of the season, and, like, like, I almost was like, I wonder if they added this in, like, later in their plans, because they were worried having Zuko go from like freeing Appa and like making the right decision to then like doing what he does in like the Crossroads of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was almost like, oh, I wonder if like maybe that had been like what they had, and then they felt like it was too like they're like, oh, we need like one more scene to show he's not like he's still like mixed about everything, so that right. it doesn't feel like out not even out of character or not, but like that was kind of like for me it was like, oh, like why this episode, like to have this moment yeah. in. And I was like, oh, well, I guess it well, kind of makes
they have,
sense.
They have this stuff with this with the guru
yeah
first
mm. yeah. I feel like it kind of like they want to illustrate more about that conflict, and then yeah. you do he's like, you know, the next episode, I mean, I'm sure we're going to, you know, obviously talk about it yeah. next time. But, like, you think it's going good. But, like, he still has all this conflict. And I think they need to, like, show you that he actually is having the conflict about what he should do.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, it's not like he did the one thing because his uncle was there and pressuring him, but didn't actually mean it, you know?
Mm.
Like, he is actually starting to have this, like, inner struggle with himself. Yeah. But yeah,
Zuzu.
Yeah. Oh, Zuz.
I think he just needs to journal.
By the way, I was like disturbed by how you could see his ribs. I was like, damn, yeah. you've been starving.
I think I don't. People have talked about how, like, you know, in the first season, he's very bulky because he's like all muscle.
Mm.
And then he just gets like skinnier throughout the show because he like almost starves to death twice. And then even in the third season, he's not, like, fully bulked up again.
I mean, it makes sense. He's, like, on the run, and then he's a refugee mm-hmm. in, like, a poor area.
Yeah. And then he goes, well, let's not. Okay. I'm not going to talk about the third season. But I've seen, like, side-by-sides of images of him from, like, each season and how, like, when he had that Agni Kai in the first season, he's, like, buff, you know? And then... now he's like a little thin nothing.
That's part of his conflict too, though, right? Because up until this point he's trying to deny that he's a refugee.
Yeah.
And he was pointing that to the Palm Springs Oasis or whatever. He's like, this is just for, I don't even remember the terminology that he used, but for a long up until now he was like kind of trying to deny that he's not in that royal type of life anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he was bringing, I don't know, it all makes sense that it's leading him to this.
Right, this point.
Fever dream panic attack.
It all came here.
Yeah, exactly.
It all led us to this place.
All roads lead to fever dreams about dragons.
Yes.
I like the end.
I
mean, I feel like the show has always been very good about like the idea of like found family. But it was nice, I don't know if it's like the first time they refer to themselves as a family, and like Sokka explicitly is just like, yeah, like we love each other, and it's just like, I love, like friends need to say that they love each other more kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's nice to hear it and see it on like a show like this, and like just like seeing like the family idea, even though it's like literally part of the reason they're all separating right now is because half of them think they're getting to see like their biological family.
Right.
But it's like, but they're still, it's like, you can have both.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And even Aang's is about going to an air temple, sort of like, you know.
Right.
Air nomad.
Going back to his roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like super cute. And like the moment with like Sokka, like kind of having tears in his eyes and like thanking Katara was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really cute.
Yeah. Cause like, he doesn't want to admit it, but like,
it is sad. Like, something very emotional about that, because when he's like, someone has to stay with the Earth King and go over war plans, and it's like, it is true that the obvious choice is Sokka because he's the strategist, but Katara was like, I know that you have this thing with Dad, like
I do think like they weren't thinking logically, and if they were thinking logically, Sokka should have stayed. That's the better decision. But they were thinking more emotionally, like they just had this like high of like all these things worked out for them, and you know, they're not in that sort of mind space, because why would they be? And of course he wants to go see his dad.
These are the pitfalls of positive thinking.
Exactly.
But yeah, God, when Aang was like, we just found Appa and got the family all back together, I was like, the family.
So cute. And then Aang tried to confess to Katara.
Yes!
And Sokka fucked it up.
Did he knowingly fuck it up? Was just like, no, buddy.
You ready for our man trip with only us men?
He's just like, bitch, I know you're not about to hit on my sister, even though I've been heavily hinting it literally the entire time.
Sokka and Aang are so cute, though, all the time. Yeah. Like, in the very beginning, he was just like, see, Aang agrees with me. I was like, God, stop being adorable.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And they're literally on Appa. And what is Aang? He's like, girls are waiting for us. Thanks, positive attitude. I was like, what is this line?
So, oh, my God.
It was
God.
So funny.
There was a lot of
He's just like, look, Sokka's like, when we get back, like, Suki will be there. And Aang's like, and Katara. And it's like, girls are waiting for us. What is happening?
You know, they're all happy right before everything hits the...
Oh, my gosh.
Girls aren't waiting for you. Girls are literally planning for the war.
Yeah, literally. Also that. Yeah, like, girls are waiting for us, bitch. You're like warrior girlfriends or, yeah, literally. I mean, well, they don't, you know, Suki's in jail, but...
Yeah, well...
Theoretically...
They don't know that.
Yeah.
We technically don't know that yet either.
Yeah.
No, we just know that Azula showed up wearing Suki's headdress.
Yeah.
How dare
she?
It was like, oh shit, Azula killed Suki.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is our first, like, oh, like, that, what happened? I felt like this was really nice, because I feel like a lot of those moments that were unaddressed, like, everything tied up nice, which again was why, for me, I'm like, oh, this feels like a season finale. Because, yeah, it's like, we had, when Appa's lost days, he, you know, he flew past some water ships, like, three water bending, or not water bending, water tribe ships. And, like, there was never any follow-up. And then here, like, there's the direct follow-up. And, like, the setup of, not even setup, but it's like, yeah, like, the last time we saw Suki, it was against Azula. And, like, this isn't a payoff in the, like, it's a payoff in that it's like, oh, well, here's the next piece of that puzzle.
It's like, well, guess that's who won that battle.
Yeah. So then it's like, it is like, okay, well, then what happened kind of thing. Yeah. So it's like, I felt like there were a lot of those nice little things. And even, like, the, like, Toph, like, the kidnappers. You know, like, we had been following them briefly, and then, like, they disappeared for a while, and then, like, we get that payoff again.
Right.
So it felt like there were a lot of things that, like, it's like you would have, like, I feel like lesser shows would have just dropped some of those plot lines.
That's true. That's true.
We've all been burned by drop plot lines before.
Like, actually, yeah. And the show's like, nope, psych.
Everything's coming together.
Yeah.
Poor Toph.
Yeah.
She really thought, like, her mom was starting to accept her.
Yeah.
But psych, it was those two guys.
That is sad.
Which, did she know? I don't think she knew yet that they were, like, after her, did she?
No,
this was the first time. I know we've seen them, but I don't think the gang ran into them yet. I feel like there was just, like, a lot in this episode, but I think we got everything important.
Yeah. It's all, like, pretty straightforward. Even, like, Zuko's super metaphorical fever dreams. We're like, again, like, they're abstract, but it's still like we get why they happened and whatnot.
Right. All right. So who is everybody's MVP for this episode?
This was hard decision.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? For me, maybe Appa, just because I'm still glad that he's back. Like, you know, he didn't really much, but like, when they opened the episode and it was just like so peaceful for the first time in forever, like, Appa.
Yeah.
I got happy every time I saw him walking behind them.
Yeah. Oh, and then it was when they were all leaving, like, Katara was, like, giving him a huge hug, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't actually think about it until, like, literally this moment, and now I'm like, oh, shit.
Me too. But I did decide mine is Toph because she killed people.
I literally, like, whenever I write notes, I put a little thing at the top that's like, MVP, honor. And I didn't end up writing anybody down because I was like, I'm going to wait and see how I feel after we talk about the episode.
Mm. Yeah.
But I still don't really know.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard, like, because, like, there's so much going on and everybody, like, does things, but, like, nobody really stuck out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put another vote on Toph.
I was thinking Toph, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Katara because she was also a badass. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like her... Mm. Again, maybe not the most strategic choice, but her, like, staying behind for Sokka was very nice of her.
Yes, it was.
That was playing to Katara's strengths of, you know, the emotional taking care of people that she loves.
That's true.
Where she can't really contribute to the war plans, but...
Mm. No, not at all.
She knows how Sokka's been agonizing over their dad for, like, the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
just that whole fight.
Just storming the capital.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. You too.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, it was basically that. And then, like, kind of like what Nicole was saying with the MVP, it was just nice to see Appa.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, man. Yeah, definitely that whole fight sequence.
And, like, the group hug at the end. Like,
oh, definitely. I'm trying to see, like, if I had written anything down. Oh, I thought it was so funny when at the beginning, Sokka's like trying to get them all to like storm the castle. And Katara's like, 1 hour is not a roll. Like 1 hour after weeks of like horrible things is not a roll. And I was like, she's right though.
Yeah.
Like you had 1 good hour.
Yeah. And then Sokka's like, yeah, but like we can build on that. And I'm like, he's not wrong, yeah. But also like, just like, let's take a breather.
Yeah. So I love that. But also just that whole fight sequence was amazing.
Yeah.
There was no honor said in this episode by, I think by anybody.
Yeah.
Is it at 6?
I think we've been at 6 for a while.
Okay. Okay.
That's so crazy.
Sokka was unnecessarily victimized in this episode for sure. Zuko definitely almost died.
Oh, that's true.
We got some.
Yeah. I'm like, but when we finish the podcast, or like for Avatar the Last Airbender, I'm like, oh, maybe I need to do like a marathon and count all the times Zuko should have like died or at least have gotten like brain damage.
Oh gosh.
And I don't think it's like worth counting how many times Sokka got victimized because it's at least once an episode.
Yeah, it's just like he just like, yeah, it's like a plot device to like to lighten heavier stuff.
Yeah, but honestly every episode he's a punching bag for something. But yeah, so poor, I guess Sokka. That's it.
Mm. He tries so hard.
Yeah,
he really does. At least, you know, he's going to get to see his dad next episode, which is nice.
Yeah.
Good for him. All right. So, this has been Pod Sing Say, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Join us next week when we discuss Book 2, Chapter 19, The Guru. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform and leave us a rating. Thank you for listening.